Well, good morning, everyone at KCC and beyond as you join us here on KCC Online. It's great to have you along this morning, and we're going to turn to God's Word in just a moment or two in Psalm 86 that's been read for us. But before we do that, we're just going to pray. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity of being able to turn to your Word. We thank you that you speak truth. We thank you that you are speaking truth through your word, and that you are alive, and that your word speaks into the very core of our being. And so we just ask that you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit now, that you would work in this talk, that you would open up your word, that you would speak to us. And as we are looking to you, as we are crying out to you, as we are looking for hope, as we are looking for joy, as we're looking to be grateful in the time that we're in, we just pray that you would come now by your Holy Spirit and speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to be thinking this morning about how can we be grateful in a crisis? How can we be grateful in a crisis? And we're going to be particularly looking at Psalm 86, verses 8 to 13. So if you have a Bible, you might want to just get that open up at Psalm 86. If you're looking on a smartphone or a Kindle, then open that up just now in front of you. Psalm 86. I know it's quite difficult sometimes when we're watching this talk online. We can be quite easily distracted. Stuff going on in the room. So it's just kind of a chance to get hold of a Bible, get the Bible in front of you, ask those around you to do the same so that we can all just focus in on the passage that we're thinking about this morning. There's going to be some slides that are going to be appearing on the screen as well, but it's just good to have that Bible with you and to focus on that. So we want to think about, first of all, being ungrateful versus being grateful. I don't know about you, but in this lockdown, it can be so easy to think about being ungrateful. When the lockdown first happened, we heard about people who were stockpiling and panic buying because they were just concerned about not having enough food. So we had people who were stockpiling pasta and worried about running out of pasta, and then we were struggling to buy pasta. And then we had lots of people buying sanitizer and running out of soap and sanitizer because we were being told to wash our hands, which we still should be doing. And things like tins of beans, stockpiling canned food. And it was so easy to just be ungrateful, and it still can be easy to be ungrateful because we go to the shop, can't get hold of the pasta, we can't get hold of eggs, we can't get hold of that milk that we were looking for. And so we can become frustrated. Or maybe it's about sport that we, like me, maybe like playing tennis or football or rugby, and we're allowed to get out and exercise, but we can't actually get out and do team sports. Or we like cycling, but we can only cycle once a day. And so we get frustrated, and it can be so easy to become ungrateful about the age and stage that we're in. I don't know if that's like you. I don't know whether you're ungrateful right now, that even this morning you've been ungrateful about things because we're here in this situation. So how can we be grateful in a crisis? How do we actually become more grateful in a crisis when it seems like things are going wrong, when we're limited, when we can't do what we want to do, we don't think that we have the freedom that we once had? How can we be grateful? Well, I want us to think about three key areas this morning. I want us to think about, firstly, being grateful for God's greatness. Secondly, to think about being grateful for God's holiness. And thirdly, being grateful for God's love. So grateful for God's greatness, grateful for God's holiness, and thirdly, grateful for God's love. How can these things help us to become more grateful in a crisis? Well, we're going to turn to Psalm 86 and first of all think about being grateful for God's greatness. So we read in verse 8, "Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours." So when we are thinking about being grateful, it's so easy for us to have a small picture of what reality is. We just think about ourselves and we measure what reality is based upon how we feel. We measure what reality is based upon whether we have a job, whether we've been furloughed, whether we can get out and play sport, whether we have the freedom that we once had. And so what we have to do in a situation like this, what I have to do, what you have to do to truly get a right perspective on reality is to lift our eyes and to look up and to look out, is to look up and to look out. And so as we look up and we look to God, we see that he is great, that there is none like God. Among the gods, there is none like the Lord. And the Lord is different to other small gods because he is Father, Son, and Spirit, that he is already in relationship to himself, that God brings meaning because of relationship. He is a relational God. And so we can look to him and see his greatness, that he is otherly. He is not like us, where we just quickly get down and frustrated and fed up. That there is no gods like him. Among the gods, there is none like the Lord, and no deeds can compare with yours. So we have to see the majesty and the greatness and the sovereignty of God to help us become more grateful. And so to be grateful for God's greatness, we also see in verse 9, "All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name." And so when we think about the Christian faith, when we think about following Jesus, it is about an individual, personal faith. But it's also about God moving among the nations, among the peoples of the world, and that they will all worship him. Doesn't matter whether they're from Asia, whether they're from Russia, whether they're from Europe, whether they're from the Americas, North and South, or Africa, all nations that you've made will come and worship before you, Lord. They'll bring glory to your name. And so when we look at the circumstances that we're in, when we look at what's going on right now, we can think that this is all there is. But God is moving and is greater and is bringing glory to his name, that he will bring worship to his name through differing circumstances. And we read about this elsewhere in Psalm 22, verse 27. Psalm 22, verse 27. "All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over all the nations." And so God is sovereign at this time. We might be worried about our work, and it's right to be concerned about the realities that we face day in, day out, Monday to Friday, or on the weekend. But remember that God is sovereign no matter what we're going through right now, and that all the ends of the earth will turn to him. All the families of the nations will bow before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over all the nations. He is the ruler over all things of the earth and the universe and the cosmos. He is sovereign. He is great, and we are to trust in his greatness. And no matter what is going on in our lives, whether we're struggling right now because we feel busy, whether we're struggling right now because there's things that are going on, or we're trying to film a talk right now, as I am, and my dog is wanting out the door, so I'm going to have to go and let her out the door, because this is part of the reality of life. No matter what we're doing, see, this is the reality that we're living in. But when we think of the world, and some of you have seen this globe behind me and you're wondering, what is this for? Well, here we are I'm doing this talk right now, and we're doing this in Edinburgh, in Kirkliston, in Scotland, and it's tiny that we can hardly find this on the map as it is. But around the world, there are billions of people, you know, 7 billion plus people around the world, more than us. We can often just think about our own life. And God has dominion over this whole globe, over all these people, over what is going on right now with COVID-19. God is great. And he is working still, that he is bringing people to himself. Maybe you're even watching this today and you don't know Jesus, and he is showing you just how great he is and how we are to look to him. And so we can be grateful for God's greatness, that he is otherly, that God is great. We see in verse 10, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. You alone are God." And so we are to look to his greatness, and we are look to his marvelous deeds in creation and in salvation, and we are to give thanks to him. John Piper has this great quote that says, "Have you been taken captive, as it were, by the glory of his power and knowledge and love in such a way that all human power and all human knowledge and all human love lose the power of their attraction?" And there is something here that is so important for us to get hold of, that we are attracted to the otherly. We're attracted to money. We're attracted to things that will make us feel good. We are attracted to success. We're attracted to all kinds of things. But we are to have that power lost and to see that, God is the one to whom we are to be attracted to, that our hearts are be for him and not against him. And so have our hearts been taken captive? Have we seen the greatness? Have we seen the majesty of who Jesus is? And can we truly say that in our heart of hearts? Because what happens when we face a crisis like this is that what really matters does come to the surface. And so it isn't good enough for us just to say, well, I'm a Christian by name, or that I just go to church like we're a member of some club, but that our hearts need to be won in such a way that we see God as greater, that he is bigger than us, and we're glad about that. We're glad about the fact that he is greater. But secondly, we're to see that we're to be grateful for God's holiness. We're to be grateful for God's holiness. Why are we to be grateful for God's holiness? Well, in verse 11, we read, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. So we are to understand that God is holy, and that should make us grateful, because when we read in the Bible of who God is, and we read of how he is true and how he remains the same yesterday, today and forever, and how we think upon what is good and what is right and what is noble, that when we think upon what is holy, when we desire to be holy, when we want him to teach us to rely on him, then we will see that our hearts are won and captivated by him again. And it says, "Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." And I don't know whether you've thought about this much or not, but that our hearts are often divided. We often worship and go after idols. We often worship and love other things more than God. And we sometimes just need to be honest about that, that actually our hearts sometimes are not fully captivated for God, that we're not thinking about God or desiring to read his word in the way that we should, that our hearts can often be divided. But God, in his holiness, does not have a divided heart. He is perfect and he is pure. And one of the reasons that we have a divided heart is because we fear other things more than God. And I've spoken about this before, but it's in this passage, and I need to really unpack this a bit again, that it's possible for us to fear other things more than God, and that will give us a divided heart. Now, we might say, well, it's really difficult right now to not be fearful. It's difficult because I'm fearful about my children and this coronavirus. I'm fearful about elderly parents. I'm fearful about my neighbors. I'm fearful about my job. I'm fearful about relationships. We can be fearful about a whole load of things. We can be fearful about just the uncertainty of what's going on. A couple of times I've woken up in the night and it's almost like, where am I? What's going on? That feeling of not knowing quite what's going on. That this uncertainty and this pandemic is affecting us all. And so it's not that we don't fear, but it's who do we fear or what do we fear? And really helpfully, Paul Tripp says this regarding fear. The only thing that has the power to defeat fear is fear. Look at that again, it's on the screen. The only thing that has the power to defeat fear is fear. Only when the grander fear of God rules your heart will you be free of all the little fears in life that chip away at your heart. Isn't that great? And doesn't that make sense? And isn't that wise in the age that we live? You see, the only thing that has the power to defeat fear is fear, because we naturally are fearful of a virus that there isn't a vaccine for. And so being human, we will be fearful. But it's only when the grander fear of God rules our hearts that we'll be free of these little fears that chip away at us. In other words, what we do is we look to the grandeur of God, the greatness of God, the holiness of God, of who Jesus is, and we ask that these fears will be replaced with a rightful trembling of the holiness and the majesty and the sovereignty of who God is. Because our hearts are going to be won by something, and we want our hearts to be won by Jesus and by the fear of God, and that we will rightfully fear him and not waste our time fearing other things. And we can rightfully fear him because he is the one who will come and return as judge, and he is righteous. And as we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we can be seen as righteous. We can have an eternity and a hope with him, so that when we fear him, it's not that we are really freaking out, but that we're rightfully fearing his awesomeness and we're in awe of who he is. And that replaces this stuff that's going on right now, that whatever you're fearing related to COVID-19, that we can trust in him. But we also read in verse 12, I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. So being grateful for God's holiness involves worship. And it's a concern of mine that as we've come out of the church building and as we sit in our living rooms and watch these services online, not just KCC, but churches all over the world, is are we seeing that this is only part of our worship? It's an important part of our praise and worship, but it's not all of our worship. You see, we need to be worshiping God when we go to the office on a Monday, or as we open up our laptop and get on a Zoom meeting on a Monday. We need to be worshiping God when we are tempted to have cabin fever and there's no space in the house. We need to be worshiping God in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. And so that His praise should be on our lips as it comes from our heart. Are we thinking about Jesus when we go on a bike ride? Are we thinking about Jesus when we go on a dog walk? Are we thinking about Jesus as we walk around the block? Is he the one to whom we are giving thanks and praise and worship to? Is the overflow of our heart a heart that is undivided and is captivated by his greatness and his holiness? And we need to really seriously think about this. We're not playing games. Are we truly seeing that God is great, that God is holy, that he sent his son Jesus to die for us in order that we might have life and eternal life? Are we seeing that in such a time as this, that our whole lives need to be towards worship of him? Or if we're honest, are we tempted to live as if we are part of a club? You know, we check in to church now and again. We show up now and again, and we occasionally read the Bible, or we occasionally look at something on YouTube. We need to be really honest about where we are right now. And as I've been preparing this, I just sense God saying to me that we need to be true before him. Do we really see that he's great? Do we really see that he is holy? Do we really have a desire to live like this and live for him? Or are some of us playing games? I know in my own life, where things are busy, where there's many distractions, that it doesn't help my heart. It doesn't help my soul. And I need to get back on my knees and pray and seek God's face. And I wonder whether that's you today. I wonder whether, as part of this lockdown, you've gone into hibernation. You don't have to come to the church building and be accountable to be seen by others. Maybe some of us have just gone off and we're drifting. Or we've just gone into kind of hyper mode and we're trying to survive. Let's see God as great, and let's see God as holy, and let's worship him for who he is. Let's get on our knees. Let's pray. Let's seek his face. Let's gather together and pray together as we gather together on Zoom and pray for others. Let's seek his face. But lastly, let's be grateful for God's love. In verse 13, it says, "For great is your love toward me. You've delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. For great is your love toward me." So we should be grateful for not only his greatness and his holiness, but also for his love towards us. And he's delivered us from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Well, how do we know this to be true? How do we know that God really loves us? How do we know that? Well, we read elsewhere in 1 John 4, verse 10. "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Do you want to know that God loves you? Do you want to be reminded of the fact that God loves you? Well, there it is in 1 John 4. "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So that we can know that we're loved when we look to the cross, that Jesus came down living amongst us, loving us, teaching us, demonstrating what the kingdom of God looks like, and ultimately dying on the cross to pay the price for our sins, all the things that we've done wrong, the way that we've gone our own way, and took that on himself, that paid the price of sin. He's the one who paid the price for us by the shedding of his blood. And so we want to know what love is. We can know and be grateful for love when we look to Jesus, who has died on the cross for us. And I wonder whether we just need to be reminded of that today, that God loves you, that God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And I have a cross here that a friend of mine gave me, and our staff team often rib me about this. I think they think that I'm a wannabe bishop or something. I don't wear it around my neck, so don't worry about that. But what I often do is I put it in my pocket, in my trouser pocket, and when I'm out on a dog walk and I'm looking for keys sometime, and I'm coming home, I'll often feel this in my pocket and get this out and be reminded of the cross. And when I'm reminded of the cross, I'm reminded of how much God loves me. I'm reminded that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for me. And so just remembering, as I look at the cross, this reminds me how much God actually loves me. And so when you look to the cross, you can be reminded of how much God loves you. And God's love for us is so great and so vast. We read in Ephesians 3, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." God's love towards us today, why we should be so grateful and why we have to preach this to ourselves every day, is because his love isn't stingy towards us. He isn't sort of just saying, "Well, I'm not going to show you my love." He shows us his love in Jesus, and that love is wide and long and high and deep. And this love surpasses knowledge, so that when we struggle and we fear and we turn and we look to God and we get on our knees, it's possible for us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to know that Christ is in us and with us, to know the presence of his love, to know the love of the Father as the Holy Spirit makes that known to us. And so if we're to do anything, it's to get on our knees and to open up our hands and say, "Come, Holy Spirit, would you remind me of the truth that the Father has sent the Son in order that I might have life, eternal life, and I might know the love of the Father by the Holy Spirit, that we might be filled with the Spirit and filled with the love of God made known in Jesus." And that should make us truly, truly grateful today. Every day is going to be a battle to choose to love other things or to love God. But we can be reminded when we look at the cross, when we look to him, that we are loved. And so as we close this and we think about a response, we've been thinking about being grateful for God's greatness, being grateful for God's holiness, being grateful for God's love. And I just want to encourage you that wherever you are, wherever you are physically around the world, wherever you are in terms of spiritually in your journey with God, I want you to be praying to him and asking God to draw near to you and to make Jesus known to you at this time. And just on the screen, there is an email address that is going to show you how you can get in touch. Maybe you are a member of KCC or somebody who comes along to KCC Church and you've got questions about the talk. Why not drop a question on that email address? Maybe you're watching this talk somewhere else in the UK or around the world and you've got questions too, maybe about the talk, but maybe also questions about how you can know this love of God through Jesus. Maybe you want to take that step and actually know who Jesus is. Well, why don't you email on that and I'll respond to those emails that come in. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the reality of your word that shows us that you are great, that you are holy, that you are love, that you care for us. And so this really is a matter of life or death. And so I pray that we would respond to you and that we would get right with you for a first time, or that we would rightfully take seriously our walk with you, that you would be the one who captivates our hearts, that we would not have divided hearts, but we would be undivided, that we would be captivated for you, that we would know your love that surpasses all understanding, your peace that passes all understanding, and know that to be true. And so I pray your blessing on us now, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you would walk with us, that we would know your presence, that we would know your rest in the day and the night, and that we would know that your grace is enough for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks so much for listening. And please do get in touch if you'd like to ask any questions or make any comments. And do be encouraging one another and upholding one another and praying for one another, but also sharing this good news too. And maybe you can share this talk, maybe you can share this service on Facebook or by email. Just encourage somebody else if you've been blessed today. God bless you.